Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. We are continuing today our exciting study of the Epistle to the Hebrews. We're going to look at chapter 7 today, and probably going to center on verse 25 as a summation, as a focus, as a theme. And verse 25 says, "Therefore, he is also able," talking about Jesus Christ, our high priest, "therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to him, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." This is a wonderful, incredible picture and truth. Jesus Christ is there at the right hand of God as our mediator, as our advocate, as our representative before an infinitely pure, holy, and righteous God. He is there as our representative, as our high priest, as this passage says, continually making intercession for us. And because of that truth, it says he is able to save to the uttermost. And this reminds us, uttermost means as far as you can go, completely, fully. Reminds us of how this word is used over in Acts chapter 1:8, where Jesus said to his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." As far as you can go, you'll be my witnesses. And here it says, because we have such an high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us before God, he is able to save us to the uttermost. As someone has said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Oh, we must never in any way diminish the power of the salvation that God has provided for humanity. No matter how difficult a case may be, we must always proclaim the full gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of salvation to totally transform and to save to the uttermost any and every individual that will put their faith in him. Now, this whole thing is built around that Old Testament figure that we've mentioned in past episodes, Melchizedek. And at the end of chapter 6, the writer flows in to a discussion of Melchizedek in chapter 7. Now, Melchizedek is an Old Testament type of Christ. And the writer of Hebrews is going to use these Old Testament passages to prove that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of these Old Testament passages about Melchizedek. Because listen to this, Melchizedek is mentioned only in Genesis in 3 verses, and then he's mentioned by David in Psalm 110. Verse 4, where David says, listen to this, this is powerful, and this is a prophecy. This is a messianic prophecy. Psalm 110:4, "The Lord," and it's all caps, which means it's Yahweh. That's the personal covenant name of God. "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest," talking about the Messiah, "you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, this obviously is very important because he says the Lord has sworn. And so this means that, and he mentions this in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. In other words, the Lord has sworn, God took an oath. Now, God doesn't have to take an oath. It's impossible for him to lie. But the writer of Hebrews says to show us how immutable, unchangeable this is. God, who cannot lie, swore, took an oath and said, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, what he's going to show us is, the writer of the Hebrews, that Jesus is the only one who fits the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy. And so what the writer of Hebrews is doing, he's showing these first century Jews from their own scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah. And this could be an indication that Paul is the author of Hebrews. We have mentioned earlier that the author of this letter does not identify himself or herself. There was one scholar, I forget his name, argued that it was likely Priscilla who wrote this letter, and that was the reason she left her name off, because there was so much bias against women in the first century that by putting her name on it, it might hinder its receptivity among the very people wanting to reach. Well, I think that's a legitimate argument. However, I was thinking of this, how Paul in Acts chapter 17:3, it says then, and Paul was in Thessalonica, says then Paul, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue of the Jews, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Jesus is the Messiah. So Luke says that this was Paul's custom, to go into the Jewish synagogues in every city where he would go. That's where he would start. And he would reason with them from their own scripture, showing that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, excuse me, this is what the writer of Hebrews is doing. Now, here's several things that he mentions about Jesus and how he fulfills these Old Testament prophecies about Melchizedek and the prophecy where God said, I have sworn and will not relent that you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, here's the thing about Melchizedek, and we see this in chapter 7, verse 3. The writer of Hebrews says he's without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now, he's referring to the fact that Melchizedek is this mysterious figure in Genesis. He seems to come out of nowhere, a priest of the Most High God. He is both a king and a priest. Now, in Israel, the monarchy and the priesthood were divided. They were two distinctly different roles. The only place where we see where they possibly merged was in David, who is also an Old Testament type of Christ. Because we see in 2 Samuel chapter 6, when David was bringing up the ark, he clothed himself with a linen ephod, which was a priestly garment, and he joined in with the Levites, shouting praises to God as they brought up the ark. So, in Melchizedek, he's called the King of Righteousness and also the King of Peace. The priestly and kingly ministry were merged in Melchizedek. His greatness is also, the writer points out, that he blessed Abraham. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, paid tithes to Melchizedek, and then Melchizedek spoke a blessing upon Abraham. And we read in Exodus about the institution of the Aaronic priesthood. It was the high priest's responsibility to pronounce the Aaronic priestly blessing upon the people. But here we see over 400 years before the establishment of the Aaronic blessing, here is this individual named Melchizedek who is speaking blessing upon Abraham. And the writer of Hebrews points out that the lesser is blessed by the greater one. So here this person is even greater than Abraham, the originator of the Jewish race. Wow. Who is this individual? Well, he's obviously a type of the Messiah. And God had said there in Psalm 110:4, there was coming a time when he was going to establish a priesthood. He was going to raise up another priest, but not from the Aaronic line of priest, but one according to the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus fits that because, yes, as a human being, as a human, he was born in Bethlehem. But as the writer of Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, another messianic prophecy says, "And thou, Bethlehem, though you're small among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come the one who will rule my people Israel, whose goings forth are of old, even from everlasting." And the Hebrew word there means from eternity, from everlasting, from eternity. So Jesus has no beginning of days or end of life. And whereas in the old covenant, there was a continual changing of the priesthood because that they were from generation to generation because they were continually dying. And they had to continually, every year, the high priest had to offer up a sacrifice for the sins of the people. But now, here in the end of days, this great high priest after the order of Melchizedek has come into the world. And he has offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, his own life, his own body. And now he has ascended into the presence of God. And there he lives forever, making intercession for the people whom he has redeemed and who have come and put their faith in him. And because he forever lives. Okay, we got to close this out. So let's read verse 25. This is the summary. Verse 25, therefore, let's read verse 24. But he, talking of Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost, to save completely and fully. Oh, my friends, put your faith in Jesus today. Encourage, exhort your friends, your family, your associates, your co-workers, put their faith completely in Jesus. Only he can save. Only he can deliver. Only he can deliver us from this corrupt, fallen human nature that we inherited from our first parents. And because he continues forever, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I want you to know that Jesus is for you. He's on your side. So never pull away. Keep running to him. Keep running to him. As it says in, and I'll close with this, Hebrews 4:16 is very appropriate at this point. Seeing then that we have such an high priest that is passed into the heavens, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. There's also contact information there. These podcasts are being a blessing to you, I'd love to hear from you. You're welcome to friend me on Facebook, Follow me on Twitter. Send me an email. If you'd like to be on our mailing list, send me an email and let us know you'd like to be on our mailing list. We send out a weekly partners, friends, newsletter just to let people know what's happening in our lives. And just send an email and say, put me on your email list, and we will do that. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless you.